You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Well, it's our Father's Day special today, folks. Hope you're enjoying the ride. Larry King was on a little earlier in the show. If you missed that interview, you want to go to our website, drewmarshall.ca, at the end of the week, and we'll have that interview posted for your listening pleasure. Jay Baker is a 35-year-old pastor who grew up witnessing both the good, the bad, and the ugly of church. We've heard a lot about that kind of stuff over the last few years. His parents are Jim and Tammy Fay, ministers-turned-TV hosts who helped start both the Trinity Broadcasting Network and the 700 Club in the 70s, and later founded PTL, Praise the Lord Club.
They were part of the 700 Club as well?
Yeah.
Wow.
At the height of their popularity, they pastored the largest church in the country until their lives were changed by one of the biggest scandals in American history. For the first time, Jay was exposed to the dark underbelly of religion. An experience that would stay with him to this day. He's appeared on Larry King Live. Where have I heard that name before?
He was just talking to us.
Oh, that's right. And been featured in Rolling Stone, New York Times, Time Magazine, The Economist, FHM, and New York Magazine. With his father now out of prison and his mother having sadly passed away of cancer just a few years ago, Jay joins us today to talk about his journey through one of the messiest lives I think any kid could go through and the restoration process with his father and mother, but particularly his father, because Father's Day is tomorrow. Jay, how you doing, man?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm enjoying my own show today, which is rare.
Nice.
Usually I think it just sucks, but I don't know. Today was all right.
Well, give it a minute or two.
Nice. Nice. Jay, seriously, dude, I started doing some research on you, and I was engrossed in the story. I'm supposed to make notes. I'm supposed to make questions. I was reading all this stuff, and I thought, man, that's just a wacky, wacky bunch of stuff to have to go through. So first of all, let me start off the interview by saying, I'm really sorry about the passing of your mom.
Oh, thank you.
Tough. How long ago was that?
It was 2007, so okay. About 3 years, 4 years ago.
Where was the relationship with your mom at the time of her passing?
My mom was one of my best friends. We got along really well, so we were very close before she passed.
But throughout your life, were you closer to your mom or your dad?
It was different times. When my dad was in prison, I was pretty close to him. Because, you know, I mean, one, he couldn't go anywhere. And two, I would go visit him a lot and talk on the phone. So we were pretty close then just because, you know, we couldn't be close, basically. And but I've always been close to both my parents. Not my dad as much lately, he's a busy guy and I'm a busy guy, so we don't get to talk as much.
Okay, so before he, I mean, I want to just play off that he couldn't go anywhere comment because I get it because, I mean, your dad would be all over the place and there would be some absentee fatherism going down back in the day, yes?
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, he was really busy. He was doing TV shows and building buildings and writing books. I had to raise $1 million every 2 days just to keep the ministry going and alive.
He had to raise, hold on, say that again. That just blew right over my head. He had to raise how much?
$1 million every 2 days.
Wow.
Because he had the television network. He also had Heritage USA, which was like they had a water park and hotels and a bunch of church services and meeting centers and all this stuff. So, you know, I mean, he was raising money for all that stuff as well. So it was a constant... But he's a bit of a workaholic, so he was constantly gone.
Are you a workaholic?
No. I'd like to say I am, but no, not really. I work a lot, and I read and study a lot, but, you know, I try not to be a workaholic. I hang out with Pete Rollins, and that guy's a super slacker.
Oh, yeah. The dude doesn't even have time to cut his hair, seriously.
No, a guy doesn't even cut his hair, yeah.
You know what? I like him. I just, I don't know if you've ever heard the story, but our first meeting involved me sort of chastising him publicly at a pub one time, and And he took to it, man. I mean, those Irish, that's the best way to start a relationship with the Irish.
Oh, yeah.
You just, you know, slap him in the face and away you go, you know?
You got to be really careful because then he'll confuse you with the Jedi mind trick.
He does that. He does that. I'm saying.
Yeah, and then you'd be like, I don't believe in God anymore.
Yeah,
weird.
How did that? I know. What attributes of your dad have you picked up, and what attributes of your mom have you picked up?
Well, that's a good question. I guess my dad is probably a lot of the speaking and a lot of the very feeling very serious about things, you know, about my convictions. And, you know, my mom was loved people greatly, but she could also have a lot of fun, and sometimes I can find myself being a little bit more serious than I should be, or a little more intense than I should be.
Right.
I do a lot for LGBT rights, gay and lesbian rights, and you know, sometimes I get pretty intense with folks when they're not doing that. So, you know, I'm pretty passionate there. For my mom, you know, the whole idea of just loving people constantly and allowing love to always trump any other kind of card or anything like that, you know, that's I get that from my mom. I like to shop, so I think I probably get that from my mom too. Watch that.
Okay.
Watch shopping too much, you know, I go to the flea market. Out of control.
Yeah. I hate when that happens myself. You know, when I think of your mom, let me just be straight here for a second, okay? No pun intended.
Ew.
When I think of your mom, obviously we think of the makeup or the hair or whatever. And by the way, her hair is nothing compared to Jan Crouch. I mean, that hair is jacked to Jesus, man. That is so stinking high. But that's what...
My mom always had very short hair. My mom wore wigs.
Right.
She cut her hair really short.
Right. Yeah, it was wigs. Okay. So when I think of your mom, you know, that's what comes to mind. But if I think real hard and I caught myself, I started getting all kind of, oh, yeah, I remember those days. You know, I remember one of the funniest, you know, shirts I ever saw was a T-shirt with a makeup stain on the front, you know, rouge, lipstick, and eyelashes. And on the back, it said I ran into Tammy Faye at the mall. Right?
Yep.
This is your mom we're talking about now. You know, it's easy to take the mickey out of somebody who you don't know, or you don't know anybody that knows them. But when now I'm talking to her son, and now I feel bad. I feel really bad about ripping your mom and dad so many years ago.
Well, you know, the thing is, it's funny because my mom used to always just, she would sign those shirts, and she always laughed at that stuff. Both my parents did, even like, they loved the church lady on Saturday Night Live, you know, and when they were on, they would laugh, but for me, I was not laughing because I was a kid, you know, and I was like, this is my parents, you know, but my parents seemed to always try to make the best of those situations and roll with the punches, and for me, it was a little bit different because you're a kid and you want to defend your folks, and, you know, I got in some fights in high school and things like that. But, you know, as you get older, you kind of put things into perspective and realize that, you know, people weren't just making fun of my mom and dad when they were making fun of them. They were making fun of all Christian television and all the conservative Christians out there, you know, because I don't think a lot of people knew that my folks did a lot of stuff, like my mom did interviews with a guy with AIDS in 1983 when, you know, Ronald Reagan hadn't even mentioned it yet, or, you know, my mom had an openly gay MCC pastor on in, like, the early 80s as well, and they were doing radical things and taking radical steps. So I think sometimes people made fun of, you know, the makeup and the hair and the characters, character idea of who they were, like as characters rather than who they genuinely were. Because I learned a lot from my parents, you know, on how to love people and care about people. So, you know.
Okay. So, you know, man, I don't even know how to formulate this question. And so just cut me some slack here, dude. Okay. Your parents are Jim and Tammy Baker. I mean, I just cannot get over how their names are so synonymous with the type of Jesus stuff that both you and I hate.
Right.
But these are, again, this is a repetitive thing. They're your parents.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've spent a lot of time rattling the chains, or somebody's got to say the emperor's butt naked, you know.
Right.
And now you and I are kind of similar in our rage against you know, the religious BS of North American Christendom, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think one of the things that it's helped me do is realize that we don't ever know the complete story, and it's really easy to judge. I remember years back when I first wrote one of my memoirs back in, I was like 23, I had asked someone to write, a writer on grace, to write a foreword for my book, and originally they agreed, and then the next thing they backed out and disagreed, and so they didn't want to be associated with my parents. And I just remember thinking, like, you know, these writers on grace don't even want to be associated with my family. Something's wrong here.
Yeah.
And so it allows you to kind of see things in a different perspective, is that sometimes we, you know, we're cool Christians and we're lovey-dovey and we love people and we hate the bad stuff, but I think sometimes we don't realize who those people are and that they're people too and that they have families and that, you know, we're called to love them and restore them as well. I mean, I think that's the story behind the prodigal son, is, you know, you got the good son and the bad son, and the father's wanting both of them in the presence. So, you know, it's definitely kept me honest and definitely made me realize that I can't always just jump to conclusions, because man knows I want to, you know.
Well, okay, but looking back on your anger, do you now go, oh, I was such a judgmental punk and I didn't know what grace was? Or, what, I mean, are you able to give yourself permission to look back on some of the crap that you should never have gone through as a kid? You
right.
should never have had to put up with or be exposed to. Have you allowed yourself to be angry?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I've been angry, you know. I mean, that kind of used to be my M.O. at speaking engagements and things, you know. I try not to be as angry. I try to be angry for the right reasons, as far as injustice for people who are being treated horribly by the church, because I can relate to that, or people are saying they don't belong or they don't fit in.
Huh.
And so those are times where I allow myself to get angry, even though it might be despite the best intentions.
But angry at your parents, like, you know what, Mom,
oh,
Dad?
I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, I've had that, you know. I mean, I grew up with them. There were many times where I was angry with both of them.
Right, and it led to your substance abuse and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's easy to say, but I'm also an introvert and a very nervous person around people, so drinking was also, that was a part of drinking as well, you know, just natural, being a nervous teenager and wanting to fit in. So, you know, it's easy to blame them or blame other people for all that stuff, but, you know, I played a pretty big part in it.
What's your favorite tat?
My favorite one. I've got doubt and I just got faith and doubt tattooed on the sides of my hands.
Nice.
Yeah, I kind of like those right now, but that's because they're the newest of the addition. I've got Help Me Lord across my knuckles, the me's on the thumbs. So I kind of like that one a lot.
Nice. Do you have one that you regret?
You.
What was her name?
I got my ex-wife's name.
There you go.
I don't regret it as much as it was a part of my life, but you know, I learned a lesson on, I don't care how much I love you or care about you, your name's not going on my body.
Yeah.
Unless you're my child, and I don't have any children, so.
Right.
You know, my mom and dad and my sister, those are the other names I have, so I can't get rid of them.
How did your sister's life track through all this? And I know, you know, it gets a little unfair because it's not cool for you to be talking on behalf of your sister, so we'll clear that up. You're not speaking on behalf of her. But I don't know anything about how her life tracked at all.
She went through the ringer, you know. She really had it tough. You know, she raised kids through all this. And, you know, she was at the top of her career when it all happened. She was... had an album out, and she was about to start a production company, and she was just, you know, 16, 17 years old. And when all of it all fell apart for her, as an innocent bystander. So it was really tough on her, and she's really seen a lot of the ugliness of the church firsthand. She stayed in North Carolina where we grew up, so.
So what's Tammy Sue doing now?
She just works a job. I think she's going to hopefully start singing again, but right now she just works.
How old is Tam Sue?
My sister, I believe, is 40.
Married?
She's one of my best friends.
Married? Kids?
She's divorced. She has kids.
Okay. All right. When you look, and by the way, folks, let me just, I'm totally engrossed in this conversation. My head's floating all over the place. Jay Baker, son of televangelists Jim and Tammy Faye Baker. You know, that shadow, man, there's got to be, I guess you'll always have that. Have you allowed yourself to be okay with that? I mean, that's the shadow.
Yeah,
that's
I
who
mean,
you are, dude.
I got a Twitter the other day saying, does it annoy you that you're, every time you're your name's written somewhere, it always says son of.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it goes through this long detail. So I'm like, yeah, I just figured, you know, it's my lot in life. You know, it's almost like my title now. But surprisingly, like today there was just a thing about Wild Goose in the USA Today, and it named three speakers, and I was one of them, and it didn't say anything before, and I was like, I think this, I'm going to have to cut this out and, like, frame it. You know, this is the first time it's not said son of something or this or this or that. It just said Jay Baker. I'm like, maybe there's another Jay Baker speaking at this festival.
Funny.
He's not the son of Jim and Jamie Faye Baker.
Yeah.
You know? It goes with me. It got my foot in the door originally, probably. So, you know, I've been able to stick around, and, you know, I'm you know, it's part of my heritage, and I think it allows people to see a different side of grace and a different side of the church, and especially, you know, seeing me involved in such liberal Christianity, I think challenges people as well.
You know, people, I guess, they don't think it through, and they come out with something like, oh, of course he's a liberal Christian guy because, you know, he's sort of still rebelling from all that other crap. It's like I had the son of Fred Phelps on the show, who's an atheist, and people say, well, of course he's an atheist. I mean, look what his father preaches, you know, GodHatesFags.com. I mean, obviously he's going to be an atheist. I mean, I'm not surprised. Well, when I asked Nate Phelps, when I asked him, you know, is that the correlation? He's like, no, that had really not anything to do with it whatsoever. What about you?
Well, I would say it probably had something to do with it because my parents were always so inclusive. You know, I mean, privately they always taught me just to be inclusive and love people right where they are at, and you know, and continue to love. And I feel like that was part of me going through that, and also seeing my dad in prison and seeing how conservative people talk about prisons and prisoners and things like that. You know, a lot of that changes you when you see it firsthand. So I'd say there was definitely some influence there.
Yeah, because, I mean, now you're known as the son of Jim and Tammy Faye Baker who loves gays.
Yeah, yeah. I did, you know, it wasn't what I was aiming out to do, but sometimes you can't help what you're
And sorry, it's not even loves gays. You know, let's word that properly. You're gay affirming. In other words,
I am gay affirming.
Something just happened in New York City or New York. What's
we're waiting on a vote right now. We're unless it's been announced since I've been on here. I don't think it's happened yet, but it looks like we're about to legalize gay marriage. We're really
in the state of New York.
Fingers crossed. Yeah.
And how do you feel about that?
I feel great about that. I think it's about time. Unfortunately, we'll only be the sixth state in the United States to do it, so we still have a long way to go. And hopefully we can see some change happen here. I really believe that these are civil rights issues that we're ignoring.
You know, here's the usual discussion. Someone says, well, the Bible says that homosexuality is a sin. You know, marriage should be between a man and a woman. That's, and somebody else comes along and says, well, I've looked at those verses and I've talked to some different theologians, and actually the verse that you're talking about, Romans 1 or whatever, actually means this, this, or this, so it doesn't really look like homosexuality is sin. And besides, Jesus said nothing about it, and if it was a sin, you'd think he might pick up on that one. And then the other person says, comes back and says, well, I've talked to these theologians and this scholar, and I've read this book and this book, and actually know that's an incorrect translation of those verses. So we go back and forth on the translation of the Bible in regards to these verses, and then comes along Jay Baker, who says, I felt like God spoke to my heart and said homosexuality is not a sin.
Right.
And now you got people who say, oh, really? Well, that sounds very similar to what Joseph Smith said.
Yeah.
You know, I felt the Lord tell me that, polygamy is a cool thing, to, you know, cool way to go. I don't know, whatever, right?
So I don't know if Joseph Smith, David. King David said that he liked polygamy.
Okay.
Actually, the Bible probably supports polygamy more than Mormonism does, or ever did.
But, you know, but Jay, that's the pushback. People are like, once we start going with the kumbaya Christianity, how we feel, then we start, next thing you know, we're losing a moral compass and become sort of subjective theology.
A lot of it actually comes from biblical research that I've done on my own and where I stand, but honestly, I just decide this with love. It's the right thing to do, and loving your neighbor as yourself, and that's how I see it. You know, I think I've one of my biggest regrets was saying I think I felt like God spoke to me.
Right.
When really what I should have said was is that my convictions are this, you know, and I feel like, you know, obviously God or the Holy Spirit are part of my convictions. Because, you know, God didn't show up to me and say, Jerry, I have a special message. I didn't get any special glasses or a hat or anything.
Underwear, special underwear.
No, okay. I wish.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
But
God thoughts.
Yeah, no, it was just one of those things over time where you love your neighbor as yourself, and you kind of treat others how you'd want to be treated, and you just it seems to add up with the message of Jesus. And if people want to argue all day about those verses and what they mean or when they were added or, you know, if they were really there or not, you know, we can do that. You know, I can do that. I can go on and on and on about that stuff. But ultimately, I think we've got to ask ourselves, you know, is what is love? You know, is this, you know, are we using our religion to discriminate against people? I mean, there's still churches that use it to discriminate women and don't allow women to be in, you know, an eldership and things like that, you know. And so we've got some issues in the church. I mean, we're like the last sexist oppressors, maybe not the last, but we're pretty good at being, you know, an oppressive group of people towards LGBT folks and also women. And to me, that's just not loving people the right way, and it doesn't seem to add up for me, spiritually or biblically. I mean, biblically, we could go on about that stuff too.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. That's why you write books.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, I want to ask you about the. Well, it's not even a question. I guess it's more of a statement. If anybody is going to understand the hurt that comes with being in an estranged relationship, it's going to be you. I keep thinking about these same gender sort of loving people who are, you know, the Christian parents have said, well, we don't want you to be part of our family anymore. Maybe they're not as direct as that, but they say it in other subtle ways. I don't know, whatever the deal is, right? But there's a definite estranged thing going on. And I just, no matter what you think about the sin, I just have a hard time with and get away from me when it comes to family stuff. That's just wrong. I can't see that. So, but if anybody gets the estranged thing, it's you. So no wonder you, I mean, your mom had the compassionate heart and you have lived in an estranged relationship with both parents at different times in your life.
Yeah,
is that fair?
Definitely. Yeah, that's fair to say.
Man. I just, so many, well, and, I mean, and why are you a freaking pastor, man? Why didn't you run from this?
Well, because I found something for myself, and I think it was, I really did start to run from it and throw it out. About when I was 19, though, I read Galatians for myself, and there was this grace thing that pointed out to me, and then, like, the law that I saw was the Christianity I grew up in, and all of a sudden I was kind of set free. It was kind of a very, like, Martin Luther moment, you know? And at the time, I was told all Lutherans are going to hell because I was raised in Assemblies of God. So, so I really didn't know that much about Martin Luther. And now I'm probably more Lutheran than anything. But I just had one of those moments, you know, where I just, grace, I was shown grace, and I studied grace and saw grace, and I just, you know, realize that all is grace, you know, grace is it, you know.
If you had a chance to sit down and have a coffee with Henry now, and what would you ask him?
Gosh, what would I ask him?
Or what would you talk about? What would you really want to talk about with Henry now?
Maybe I'd ask him why he, you know, if he ever felt like, you know, he could have come out or been affirmative. Affirming of LGBT folks and
right.
What he thought about that. And
being one himself?
Yeah, and if he would have ever felt the ability to come out. You know, I would love to, you know, him and Brennan Manning are probably, you know, both my biggest, you know, two of my biggest influences, and Paul Tillich as well.
Yeah.
You know, those guys are just, you know, I would just like to have a cup of coffee with them, you know?
Yeah, just hang.
And, you know, because I think Henry Nouwen was the real deal. I mean, not that the other guys aren't, but man, you know, he was the real deal. And I would be like, how do I keep it real? How do I keep all the BS from getting in the way?
What's the difference between Jamie Charles and Jay Baker?
Oh, you know, I mean, for me, it was when I went to high school, I just started going by Jay. I think Jamie Charles is that, you know, chubby, insecure kid who was raised up on TV, and I still carry that kid with me, parts of me. But now I'm just more open to being wrong and more open to standing up for what I really believe in and not allowing other people's opinions to affect that as much. So I think I'm just probably a more independent adult, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's finish with this, man. Father's Day, tomorrow. What does that mean to you? A lot of kids, you know, try to figure out a way to get together with dads. Some kids feel they have to get together, and it's more of an obligatory kind of a thing. And some kids don't even want that to happen. They want tomorrow to go by as quickly as possible. Tomorrow, Father's Day, Jay Baker, what happens in your your brain?
All of the above, what you just said.
Right?
Yes, if I may.
Yeah.
And, no, for me, I actually sent my dad Shaking in the Foundations, the Paul Tillich collection of Paul Tillich sermons, and highlighted a few that I thought he should check out that I think are really incredible, and said Happy Father's Day, and I'll probably call him tomorrow and have a little chat with him. We usually end up talking about theology anyway, so it should be interesting.
Wow. Jay, it could easily sound trite because I don't know you from a bar of soap, which is always a weird quote. I don't understand that, but... I mean,
you don't wash.
Yeah. Seriously. I'm really sorry that you had to grow up with that crap, and I'm sorry that that you've had to take so long, or it's just been forced upon you. And I guess the reality is, it takes a while to process all that baggage, man. And but I'm stoked about the fact that you're in hot pursuit of love and grace. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't change any of it for the world. So, you know,
very interesting. I'm
happy as I can be with that. And I'm glad to be the man I am today, and
fantastic.
Have the people around me who I love and care about today. You know, I think if anything, I would love to have my mom back. But besides that, I'm pretty happy.
Jay, thanks, man. I really appreciate your guts.
Well, thank you.
Jay,
all
take
right,
care, man. Bye bye.
You too. Bye bye.
Jay Baker on the Drew Marshall Show. Short break. Hey folks, I want to tell you about the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. You ready for this? For $12.50, that's right, only $12.50, we'll mention your organization's name, website, and a brief description. Did you catch that? During each show, we'll read out your organization's name, website, and a brief description for only $12.50. Now, obviously, there's no point in doing that only once during a four-hour show, so we'll read your advertisement four times per show for an entire month, and each time we do it, it'll only cost you $12.50. It's kind of like putting an advertisement up on every church bulletin in the GTA, except you don't have to get permission from that grumpy old lady at the front desk. Now look, because there are limited spots available for our 1250 special, why don't you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250. Now sure, we're right in the middle of things here in the show, but if you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250, we'll take your name and number and call you back on Monday to sign up for the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. This is nuts. Are you sure we want to do this? How am I supposed to make any money?